Dear friends, we gather this day on the traditional and unceded territory of the Algonquin Nation.
May the Lord's love and sign of respect and peace.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Let us confess our sins, asking God's forgiveness. The hatred which divides nation from nation, race from race, class from class.
Father, forgive.
The covetous desires of people and nations to possess what is not their own.
Father, forgive.
The greed which exploits the work of human hands and lays waste the earth. Our envy of the welfare and happiness of others. Our indifference to the plight of the imprisoned, the homeless, the refugee. The lust which dishonors the bodies of men, women, and children. The pride which leads us to trust in ourselves and not in God. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Let us pray. Almighty God, whose Son fasted 40 days in the wilderness and was tempted as we are, but did not sin, give us grace to discipline ourselves in submission to your Spirit, that as you know our weakness, so we may know your power to save. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
A reading from the book of Deuteronomy. When you have come into the land that the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance to possess, and you possess it and settle in it, you shall take some of the first of all the fruit of the ground which you harvest from the land that the Lord your God is giving you, and you shall put it in a basket and go to the place that the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for his name. You shall go to the priest who is in office at that time and say to him, "Today I declare to the Lord your God that I have come into the land that the Lord swore to our ancestors to give us." When the priest tastes When the priest takes the basket from your hand and sets it down before the altar of the Lord your God, you shall make this response before the Lord your God. A wandering Aramean was my ancestor. He went down into Egypt and lived there as an alien, few in number, and there he became a great nation, mighty and populous. When the Egyptians treated us harshly and afflicted us by imposing hard labor on us, we cried to the Lord of our ancestors. The Lord heard our voice, saw our affliction, our toil, and our oppression. The Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with a terrifying display of power, and with signs and wonders. And he brought us into this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. So now I bring the first of the fruit of the ground that you, O Lord, have given me. You shall set it down before the Lord your God and bow down before the Lord your God. Then you, together with the Levites and the aliens who reside among you, shall celebrate with all the bounty that the Lord your God has given to you and to your house. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Thank you. from the letter of Paul to the Romans. Cette parole, c'est la parole de la foi que nous proclamons. Si de ta bouche tu confesses que Jésus est Seigneur, et si dans ton cœur tu crois que Dieu l'a ressuscité des morts, tu seras sauvé. En effet, croire dans son cœur conduit à la justice, et confesser de sa bouche conduit au salut. Car l'Écriture dit, « Quiconque croit en lui ne sera pas confondu. » Ainsi, il n'y a pas de différence entre Juifs et Grecs. Tous ont le même Seigneur, riche envers tous ceux qui l'invoquent. En effet, quiconque invoquera le nom du Seigneur sera sauvé. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
According to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus.
Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it has been given over to me, and I give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered him, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time. The Gospel of Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus.
May the truth of God's word be both spoken and heard this day. Amen. Almost always, when people wear name tags at a conference or an event, maybe even in church, someone will look down at their name tag and quip, "At least now I can remember who I am." Martin Luther, the giant Lutheran reformer in the 16th century, had a sign on his desk to remind him of his identity. It could have said, "I am Martin," the name his parents had given him. It could have said, "I am married to Katerina," or "I am father to 6 children," or "I am a citizen," or "I am a theologian." The sign on his desk said none of those things. It said simply, "I am baptized." And whenever Luther found himself wrestling with some complex ideas or debating his opponents, there were many, he looked at that sign and reminded himself, "I am baptized." When things were especially tough for him and he was in trouble with the authorities, he would stand up, face down the devil that he believed to be tormenting him, and yell, "I am baptized." It also seems he threw things about in his office, which I am not recommending. Baptism for Luther was the ultimate expression of how we belong to God, no matter what. Once baptized, there is no power in heaven or on earth or under the earth that can separate us from God's love. Baptism is God's unconditional promise of grace. I'm not sure that I'm going to put "I am baptized" on my name tag anytime soon, but I do know during this Lent I want to work on my identity as a follower of Jesus. I want to be more confident in God's promises and to trust more deeply in the love of God. And I want to grow the fruits of the Spirit in my life: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. A song our newcomers choir sang a couple of Sundays ago was a joyful hymn of confidence in God, no matter what troubles we face in life. I remember Deborah teaching us about it. There is much to get us down these days, a lot to suggest that evil is ascendant in the world, a lot to make us fearful, maybe even despairing, to make us wonder, where is God in the midst of this chaos? This is as good a time as any to remind ourselves that "I am baptized." Maybe better yet, we are baptized. For not only do we belong to Christ, but through our baptism, we belong to one another. And where then will that take us? What does it look like to be together in Christ, to live lives of grace? How does Christ rule? What does the kingdom Christ brings look like? So the gospel this morning begins just a moment after Jesus' baptism. And you remember what a terrific beginning his baptism was. You know, the heavens opened up, the Holy Spirit descended on Jesus in the form of a dove, and then there was this voice from heaven proclaiming, "You are my son, my child, the beloved. With you I am well pleased. No matter what, I've got you and I love you." What a pretty perfect beginning to Jesus' ministry. Lest we think that Jesus would understand fully or immediately what that voice from God meant, Luke tells us this morning the story of Jesus' temptation in the wilderness, which followed almost immediately upon his baptism. He began his public ministry with this very private wrestling with the meaning of God's claims in his life. What would the power of God look like in his life? So it may have been a private wrestling, and it surely was there in the desert, but I suggest to you that St. Luke wants us to see this story as a glimpse of what Christ's kingdom will look like, or maybe better yet, will not look like. See, the devil wants to tempt Jesus to be like the Roman Caesars of this world, only greater. Take the first temptation about bread. Caesars control the production and distribution of bread, and at a whim can cut it off. If hungry people rely on the state to feed them, they will surely revere and honor the king. So the devil suggests to Jesus, turn this stone into bread. Remember, too, he was famished after 40 days of eating nothing at all, so this was somewhat personal, too. No, replied Jesus, one does not live by bread alone, quoting from the book of Deuteronomy. Well, what about territorial acquisition? Because that's kind of what Caesars do. It's not good enough, the land they possess. They want to possess more. All the kingdoms of the world, said the devil, I have authority over all of this, and I can give it to you if you will but fall down and worship me. That would be even better than any worldly emperor could manage. No, replied Jesus, worship the Lord your God and God alone. Well, what about trying a stunt to see how God would come to his rescue? The Caesars of this world like to do things for show, like to make themselves big, even before we had television and social media. No, said Jesus, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Jesus' identity as the Son, as the Beloved, would mean that power would be shown in very different ways from the ways of the powerful of this world. I don't know what images come to your mind from the last couple of weeks from the media, but in my mind, they exemplify the worst kind of power, the kind of power possessed by those Caesars. Power for the sake of building up someone or something at any cost, often cruel and abusive. Maybe in your mind's eye, I see Trump's dressing down of Zelensky in the Oval Office. Or maybe it's the display of naked, ugly power in the president's address to Congress. And there are so many other examples of that kind of might makes right, kind of corrupt power that has turned our world on its edge. I've found myself shouting at the TV on numerous occasions. I guess Jamie would attest that I have shouted and I haven't been shouting about my baptism. Maybe I should start. Many of the followers of the current regime call their faith Christian nationalism. Christian nationalism is not worthy of the name Christian. It is surely the devil in disguise. Christian, you see, is about Jesus, about the power of love, forgiveness, grace, healing, dying on a cross. We have entered the season of Lent. We're only 3 or 4 days in. I suggest to you this morning that Lent is a time to think about our identity as followers of Jesus. If we take on a Lenten discipline, we've already done so, or maybe we're still thinking about it, there's lots of weeks ahead. It is to help us grow in our love for God and God's world. Such practices are not ends in themselves. It's not as though we take on something and then at Easter we can kind of check it off and say, well, there, I'm done with that until next Lent. But rather, any practice that we undertake that can help us grow in our union with Christ, with his living and dying and rising again, any practice such as was suggested to us in the Ash Wednesday liturgy, almsgiving, prayer, Bible reading, fasting, these will help us navigate in these chaotic times and give us a way forward. The season of Lent is then a gift to us, a gift to help us remember who and whose we are. For the coming reign of Christ challenges all the kingdoms of this world. Elbows up, we are baptized.
Join together in prayer with gratitude for your love. Help us to practice and be enriched by the rituals we have inherited that anchor and renew us as we say, loving God, hear our prayer. We align ourselves with all the people who have called and prayed to you today and throughout history. We are not alone in our yearnings to be close to your love. At this time of accelerating possibilities of change, please help us to join our energies of love together, keeping us on the good road. Loving God, hear our prayer. We pray for our world. We remember with you today those places of conflict. We pray for peace and justice everywhere, including Ukraine, Europe, Israel, Palestinian territories, Gaza. We pray for the United States and the countries affected by decisions made there. We pray for care of our Mother Earth, peace within homes, families, and within our own hearts. Loving God, hear our prayer. We pray for Canada. Inspire our leaders to acknowledge the goodness of humankind and to bravely work to foster good government and to make compassionate decisions
cooperating at all levels. Support us as we seek ways to be effective, responsible citizens who care deeply for all of us living in our country. Loving God, hear our prayer. We pray for our reconciliation with the truths of our Indigenous history, so that we can learn better ways and journey forward together. Loving God, hear our prayer. We pray for those who have no place to stay. We pray for the church and our Metropolitan and Acting Primate, for Shane, our Bishop. We are thankful and ask your blessings for those who minister at St. John's, including Gary, Alan, Pat, Christina, Kimberly, Nicholas, Carrie, Jesse, Barb, and Monica, and all volunteers. Loving God, hear our prayer. We pray for children, young people, and their families. Loving God, hear our prayer. We pray for the sick, especially Alice, David, Inga, Liam, Bill, Peter, Wendy, their loved ones and their caregivers. We ask that your love and comfort be felt by all of us and those close to our hearts. We pray for the departed and all those who mourn them. Loving God, hear our prayer. Holy God, draw us near to you so that we may enjoy the awe and wonder of you. Help us not to be frozen in the past or the future. Give us courage to begin again, to all of us who need a fresh start, and all of us who long for the freedom of your help with our courage. Give rest to all of us who are weary and want a place to rest in your love. Renew us that we may find our life in you and with you, and especially with each other. Amen.
As our Savior taught us, let us pray. Whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to God from generation to generation in the church and in Christ Jesus forever and ever. Amen. The blessing of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and keep you today and always. Amen. Thank you. peace to love and serve the Lord.